Who wants to be great? Raise your hand. There should be more hands than that. We should all want to be great. Amen? It's a great call. God wants us all to be great. You ought to raise your hand. So today we talk about the true test of greatness. Of course, after you raise your hand, you may not want it. You may not want it. Question is, what makes a person great? Well, usually, to be great, somebody has to, over a protracted period of time, be better than anyone else in that particular area. That's what usually makes somebody great. So when you think of a great president, for instance, you typically think of President Lincoln, who almost single-handedly kept this nation together with grace during during its most divisive period. Or you think of a great athlete, you think of Michael Jordan, or a great general, George Patton, or Douglas MacArthur, or a great preacher, Billy Graham. But the question is, who is the greatest person who ever lived? And that's Yeshua, of course. And the question is also, what makes him great? Now certainly, he was the Son of God, and he performed countless miracles, and his teachings are considered the models of society. The book about him, the Bible, has been read by more people by far than any other book that's ever been written. And he has influenced more people than anyone ever has by far. And the question is what made Yeshua great? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew 20. We just read part of this. Matthew chapter 20. Verse 20. Matthew 20, verse 20. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Yeshua with her sons and kneeling down asked a favor of him. What is it you want? He asked. She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. You don't know what you're asking, Yeshua said to them. Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink? We can, they answered. Yeshua said to them, you will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right hand or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father. Now there's one thing about greatness is that it always attracts other people. See, many want to be great, but few are willing to pay the price. People love to bask in the limelight of greatness. So they want to be friends of great people. And when you are in places where great people are or people that have a lot of power, you often see people who will congregate to them just because they want to be with great people. And the hope is that the other person's greatness will wear off on them somehow. But notice the encounter that Yeshua has with his disciples here in this passage. A couple of them not only want to be in Yeshua's kingdom, but they want to be the main men. You see? They said, we want to sit, through their mother, we want to sit at your right hand and at your left. But note what Yeshua's response is, you don't know what you're asking. Why? Because to be truly great is very costly. Turn with me to continue, Matthew 20, verse 25. Pick up in verse 25. It says, Yeshua called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Now this passage defines the greatness of Yeshua and also defines who is considered truly great. Notice what it says. Whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. And note what it says about Yeshua. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. But to serve. And folks, I don't know if you understand this, but this is a radical notion, what he was propagating right here. As I've shared many times, most of the Jewish people at Yeshua's time believed and expected the coming of the Messiah. Many had very different notions about who this Messiah was to be. A military leader, a political leader, a prophet, a great teacher. But few had the notion that the Messiah would be a servant. But you see, it was Yeshua's service that made him unique, and thus it made him great. And he becomes the model servant for all time, and also he becomes the model for greatness of all time. Now, the typical notion for greatness is for one to strive to be the best. You can be the best student, the best athlete, the best business person, the best worker. And I want to tell you, I want to make it clear that it's good to strive to be the best. God wants us to strive to be the best. But if you want to truly be great, do something radical and be the best servant. That's what it means to be great. Now, what does it mean to be a servant? I mean, we all talk about being a servant. And everybody knows, hopefully, that when you're in the kingdom of God, you're called to be a servant. But what does it really mean to be a servant? It's very simple. It's to sow your life into another in order for that person to become all that he or she can be. That's what it means to be a servant. It means to sow your life into another person in order for that person to become all that he or she can be. Now, you can see why a lot of people don't want to be servants. Because it means that all that you have, you're giving it to another for them to receive the glory. And that is against human nature. But that's what it takes to be great. In other words, you give your life to benefit another person. Now, you know who, interestingly, best shows servant love, generally speaking, on a day-to-day basis? And that is mothers. Did you know that? That it's true mothers are those who really show on a day-to-day basis what it means to be a true servant. The reason I say that is because mothers don't get compensated for what they do. They typically don't get honored or exalted in front of other people. But they give their lives to see their children succeed. And mothers, I want to tell you something right now. That God sees what you've done. He sees what you've sown. And although maybe other people don't see it, and maybe your children don't often appreciate it, God sees what you're doing and what you've done. And you will be honored by God for showing servant love. If you are a mother, be the best mother that you can be. That's your first and highest calling. After that comes the other things. Because that's the greatest act of service that you can have as a mother, as a person, is to be a mother. But motherly love is only one aspect of servanthood. The true test of greatness is service. And I want us to look at some examples here in the congregation of what it means to be a real servant. Now, we had a word a few months ago when Sandy Markman broke her leg, that this was not only a test for her, but it was a test for the congregation. David had that word for us. We must understand that things happen for a reason. Not everything that happens is God's will. But all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. I want you to say this after me. Say, all things work together for good. Say it. All things work together for good. Say it again. All things work together for good. I want you to say this. Say, all things. All things. Now, will you accept that right now where you are? Right where you are right now? Will you accept right where you are, right at this very moment, what you're going through at this very moment, that all things work together for good to those who are called, who love God and are called according to His purpose? All things work together. Can you receive that right now, right where you are? In whatever you're going through, can you receive that maybe God didn't bring it into your life, but all things work together for good, for your purpose, No matter what you go, can you receive it by faith? I don't care if you feel it. I don't care if you feel like a failure. I don't care if you feel like there is no hope. You've come to the edge of the cliff and you're going down right now. Can you accept it by faith? If you're in that condition, raise your hand. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Just keep it raised. Now everybody else look around and somebody grab somebody that has their hand raised and lay hands on them right this second. Keep your hands raised. And everybody else, go find somebody with their hands raised. Because these people are in trouble, folks. They're in trouble. Find somebody with their hands raised. Get up out of your seat. Even if you don't believe, get up anyway. Because you're going to be taught how to believe. Okay, find somebody who's got their hands raised. Praise God. Lay hands on them. Just lay hands on them. We're going to pray. Okay, we're going to pray. And then, we won't do this right now, but I want you to listen carefully now. Those who are laying hands on these other people. Is I want you to find out what their telephone number is after the service. Go right to them if you don't already know it. And then I want you to call them in 3 days from now and see how they're doing. Okay? That's called service. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Yeshua, we pray for each and every one of these people, Lord. Father, they have described at this very moment that they are struggling, that they don't understand why they're going through what they're going through, that it's a battle. And that they're feeling alone, that they're feeling that they may not make it. But Father, the scripture says that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Father, we pray in the name of Yeshua right now, Your power will minister into these people's lives. Father, give them hope. We curse disappointment and discouragement. We curse just despondency. I come against that spirit of despondency in the name of Yeshua right now. Lord, we lose hope into these lives and faith. And God's word to you is like the word earlier, don't give up. No matter what it takes, don't give up because help is on its way. The angels of God are going to minister to you right now and just begin to receive it. Accept that God sees your condition at this very moment and He's going to resolve it. And that the very things that are happening to you, He's going to work together for good. He's going to work it for good. He's going to do it in your life and you're going to come out stronger than ever before, more powerful than ever before. You're going to be a rock that can never be moved no matter what you're going through. Receive it by faith in the name of Yeshua right now. Just say to the Lord, those of you who are struggling, say, I receive by faith, Lord, right now. I receive by faith right now. Lord, I receive by faith right now. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And those who are struggling, just give the Lord a hand. Thank you, Lord. Give Him a hand. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord and receive it. Now, don't forget, 3 days from now, I want you to call those people and find out how they're doing. Okay? Find out how they're doing. Call them. Amen. Now God, back to Sandy Markman. You think I might have gotten off track, but I didn't. Back to Sandy Markman. God wanted to deal with her. And God wanted to deal with us as a congregation. And God dealt with her in a marvelous way. A life-changing way that she has described to many of us. But the Lord also wanted to see if we would rise to the occasion and serve her. And as you know, as we've shared before, at first we were a little slow, but a number of people did rise up in the beginning. Jean and Janie and Betty Ziegler and others. And constantly assisted her. And since then there have been many others who have risen to that occasion. But let me tell you something. I've seen a difference in this congregation. I really have. Even in the last month or two, I've really seen a difference here. We've always had a great vision in Tikvah Israel. But for the first time, I believe that we're becoming a great congregation. See, there's a difference. Every congregation has a great vision. God has a special call on every congregation. But there's not many that become great because they don't fulfill what God has. And how do you fulfill it? By becoming servants to God, to one another, and to the vision that God has given. And I see that we're becoming a great congregation. We used to be known here as having great praise and worship, interesting teaching, but rather cold people. And I rarely hear that anymore. Because what I hear now is that this place is warm and caring. And it shows that we are maturing and we're becoming servants. You see, servants to the Lord and to one another. Let me try that one again. A second example is the Russian work that we have here. Some may say, Why are we spending so much time with these Russian people? What about me? But consider what our vision is. Our vision is to be the messianic vision within the Jewish community. That's part of our major call, to share the Messiah with the Jewish community and live yet as Jewish people. But the problem is largely the Jewish community wants nothing to do with the Messiah. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10. Verse 5. This was Yeshua's commission to his disciples. And in my view, if it was good enough for them, it's good enough for us, right? It's not like the scripture just ended. We're not dispensationalists here, folks. I hope you understand that. If you're a dispensationalist, you're in the wrong place. I don't mean to throw you out of here, but if you don't know what a dispensationalist is, that's okay. It just means that God works in different periods of time, and then those end, and then you start a new period of time. Nah. It's not scriptural. That's for another day. God works the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what it says about Yeshua, right? He's yesterday, today, and forever. He was with the Father in the beginning. He had a plan from the beginning that's continued on till now, and it won't end until he rules and reigns in Jerusalem, hopefully in a few years from now. Amen. Okay. Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. Anyway, this is the commission to the disciples. These 12 Yeshua sent out with the following instructions. Do not go out among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey, or extra tunic, or sandals, or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there and stay at his house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. But if it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. The essence of this is, if the people don't respond, move on. Okay? Now that doesn't mean that we move on from our Jewish call, because that's who we are. Okay? But if one group of Jewish people are not responding to the Lord, and that's our call to reach our people, then we move on to the ones who do, right? And guess what it says here in verse 11? It says in verse 11 here that you search for the worthy person in the town, and you stay. Now, what makes a person worthy? A person who is worthy is one who responds positively to the message. That's one who is worthy. And guess who is responding positively to the message within the Jewish community right here? It's the Russian Jewish community. They're the ones who are responding positively. They're part of our vision. And since they are the only group of Jews who are responsive, we do what? We serve them. Amen. You see, you know what's interesting? For those of us that have been here for a few years, we went through about a year ago, a little over a year ago, we went through these books, these Ralph Naber books, which talked about reaching out through serving other people. Who remembers the Ralph Naber books? And we started on them, and then we stopped. And I felt like we had taken a detour on that stuff, because some people had said it, But now, after I read this passage, when I was preparing my talk, I began to wonder. I thought, maybe not. Because what it was, I believe the concepts that Ralph Naber had, which was to love and to serve those people in our communities, and by that, open the door to have the right to be able to share the gospel with them, is a right-on concept. And the problem is, we hadn't found the group that God wanted us to serve yet, but now we found the group. It's the Russian Jewish people who need to be served, because they're coming in here as a needy group, right? And so it's amazing. Now remember what service is. Service is giving your life to benefit another person. Many of these folks, these Russian folks, when given the opportunity and the tools to perform, will far exceed what most of us, if not all of us, have been able to do in our fields, in our professions. Can you imagine the impact these people will have for the kingdom of God? But first, they must be served. You see, first they must be served. Now I'm going to share with you another area of service. And I want your prayers and your help. Another concept that God has dropped into our laps that we're going to do in the next few months. We haven't even shared this with most of our Russian brethren yet. I've shared with a few of them. And that is that I believe that God wants us to open up a Russian cultural center here all week long in the basement. What does that mean? That means we are in a process right now of contracting with a Russian-American broadcasting network out of New York and bringing Russian television here into Richmond, and we're going to have it right in the basement. It means that I'm contacting right now with some universities and some other places to bring loads of Russian books over from Russia and have a Russian library here. Now, for what purpose? The reason is that there's a lot of Russian elderly people here in Richmond. They're never probably going to learn the English language. You know, many of them are old. They don't have anything to do. They feel completely lost. And what a great opportunity to be able to open up the building Monday through Thursday, and have them come here, have their own television, have their own books, have the food bank downstairs, have people down there working with them and helping them. They have a full kitchen facility, bathrooms. I mean, they have everything they want in this place. What an opportunity to serve these people. These are forgotten people except for their families. And their families are there and so forth. What a great opportunity to be able to serve these folks. Now, we have a need. The need is very simple. It's going to cost us $1,000 to tie into the Russian broadcasting service. And I challenge you today, I don't take up offerings here, but I'm just going to put it into your spirits to give. If you want to give over and above tithes, just to give for the Russians, that's all you have to put, and just put it into the offering box. We need $1,000 for that and another $400 or $500 to get the television and stuff set up, and we can get started within just the next couple of months. And then we're going to need, I don't know the cost that's going to cost for books. We'll obviously need cost for shipping. But I put that into your hearts to do that. Secondly, we're going to need, and I need you to see Mo for this, and that is that we need those three rooms downstairs finished. Okay? And if you can help him in the beginning of January, after the service, in building, like on Sunday, coming down here, putting up the extra retaining walls, and then the rest of the work and so forth, then you just need to see Mo after the service. Some people can help financially. Some people can help by giving other time and energy. There's a lot of different ways, but I'm putting that before you to do that so that within the next, my goal is by the beginning of February, we can have this thing already rolling. And it's not that far-fetched, folks. And what a great impact. What a way to serve people. That's my challenge to you. And this is the challenge that we have in this congregation as to how do we serve one another. Now, how do you serve one another? That's the question. First of all, we serve one another by giving of our time. You see, in this day and age, our most precious commodity is time. Because of our busyness, relationships suffer. And consequently, people become dysfunctional because without proper relationships, none of us can function properly. Doesn't seem to take any great word of wisdom. You know, they wonder why the society is collapsing around about us. They do these multi-million dollar studies through Health and Human Services and so forth, and it's as straight as night and day. It's as clear as night and day. It didn't cost any money to come up with this revelation. It's just that people are so consumed with busyness that they don't have time for relationships, and because they don't have time for relationships, we are created by God to have relationships, then we suffer as social people, and then we can't perform and so forth. Anyway, and the question is, do you have time for other people? Or maybe I should ask this question, can you make time for other people? It's not a question of do you have it, but can you make time for others? Stop and consider, what are you trying to achieve in this life? What are your primary goals? What are you really trying to get out of this life? If you have any desire to be great, then be a servant to another person and just give them some of your time. Don't expect others to give you time. Look for those who are in need and give them time. That's what you... So many of you, oh, no one shows me any attention. No one wants to use me. No one, I don't feel any purpose and so forth. Folks, just look around you and the next person that you see, they have a need of some sort and all they need is for you to give them some time. And largely, many problems will be resolved. If you have a need to get involved, then find somebody and give them your time. Okay, it's real easy. The question is, are you giving... let me backtrack you. Now, what about your children or your spouse? Are you giving them your time? You see, if your time to others does not impinge upon your own time, then you're not being a servant. Hear me now. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because true servanthood requires sacrifice. It means giving up something that you want to do for another purpose. It means a little bit of pain. That's what real servanthood involves. But remember first and foremost that we are the servants of the Most High, and we have a responsibility to God to use our time wisely, which means to fulfill our responsibilities. I'm not talking about being a crazy fanatic and quitting your jobs and everything else just to serve one another, and then you go and everybody else goes into the poorhouse. Okay, I'm not talking about that. We all have responsibilities to God, to our jobs, to our families, but also to one another. Okay, also to one another. When we serve God, we serve other people. If we're not serving others, we're not serving God. That's very simple. You can say, oh, I know God and all this kind of stuff, and I have a great relationship with the Lord. But if you're not serving others, you don't serve the Lord. Number two, after our time, is our abilities. You see, each of us in this body have different gifts and abilities. These gifts are not given to simply foist pleasure and benefit upon ourselves, but others as well. I want to tell you a little story about a brother here who served when he didn't really have the time, but he greatly blessed me and he greatly blessed others because I believe he shows a servant heart, and that's our brother DJ here. For those of you that know his situation, he's still in Northern Virginia and his wife is still here. Now, they're not separated except by distance because he's stuck in this job in Northern Virginia and he desperately needs our prayers. The enemy's kept him from coming down here. So he comes down here only on weekends. And those of you remember, about a month ago, my car collapsed, and according to the mechanics, we told you the story, it was all over. They said it was dead. The engine had frozen up, and it was dead. DJ only comes down here for 2 days, Saturday and Sunday, to spend time with his family. But I felt that I needed another expert opinion, and he's a mechanic, to be able to look and say, is this car really finished? And so he gave up of his own time, just the 2 days with his family, to come and to help me and to discover, thank God, that the engine was not destroyed and ultimately all it needed was an oil change, okay, and everything. And that's what it ended up happening in the end. I mean, the Lord really intervened. But I believe it was because, you know, he served me that God was able to do a miracle. I mean, if he hadn't come through, I would have just junked the car, you know, and I don't have the money to get another car. And you say, well, that's because he was serving you. And, you know, he wanted to get some bennies or something like that. He's also helped some of the Russian families here, and he's not going to get any bennies by helping the Russian families, okay, and stuff. And he's helped them get their cars and stuff. And that doesn't mean that everybody has a mechanical problem, runs to DJ on his weekends and so on. But I'm just saying that he's got an ability that he's willing to sacrifice some of his time with his family and to serve the kingdom and to benefit other people. Now, everybody in this place has gifts and abilities. There's people here who are painters, who are plumbers, who are writers and who do all kinds of things, who are sewers and who do gift stuff and all kinds of things, okay? And what I'm saying is to serve one another. Look, within your home groups, everybody in your home groups has a need one for another. It has certain needs. And folks, when needs arise, use your gifts and abilities to serve one another people. Because the scripture says that how are we going to be known by our love for one another? And when other people see that everybody rushes over to your house when your house, the lawn is not mowed, and everybody in the comb group is mowing your lawn suddenly or painting your house, your neighbors begin to wonder, what's going on over there? And you know what happens? It intrigues them, and suddenly they start coming to your home group. And then they come here. You see, evangelism, reaching out, do you know it's one of the easiest things to do? Oh, I never know how to break the ice. But all you have to do is somebody comes and say, what's so different about you all? Why? What's going on here? Invite them to a meeting and they find out how crazy we are. They never come back. I'm just kidding. That only happened for last week. Praise God. No, really. You see, service breaks down thousands of barriers and makes the gospel something that is people really want. Okay? Why are the Russian Jewish people so open to the Lord? It's because they see that people really love them. That's why. And what causes us to love them and love others? The love of the Messiah. Okay, that's all. We learn to serve one another. The third area, and the last one, is the area of relinquishing your place for another person. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Relinquishing your place for another person. Now, this is tough. Yeshua was an extraordinary servant because he relinquished his position and place in life to serve other people. Philippians 2, verse 5. Philippians 2, verse 5. Philippians 2, verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Messiah Yeshua. Found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Yeshua every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Yeshua the Messiah is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Yeshua, the Son of God, who existed with the Father from the beginning, lowered himself not just to be a man, but a servant of men. Because remember what he said. Even coming here as a man was super phenomenal, but then he said himself, I didn't come to be served, but rather to serve. And then he died for men. Consequently, God exalted him and made him Lord. Our Lord is our example. And to be great, we first must be a servant. Turn with me to John 13. John 13, last scripture. John 13. Verse 1. John 13, verse 1. It was just before the Passover feast. Yeshua knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Yeshua. Yeshua knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin, began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Yeshua replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you will never wash my feet. Yeshua answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Yeshua answered, a person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew that who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you, he asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth. No servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. To fully appreciate this whole story, we must understand what the customs of the times were at the time of the New Testament writing. Most homes had wash basins for people's feet. And because, you know, back then they had like sandal kind of stuff. And so your feet got dirty and there wasn't paved roads and sidewalks. It was dirt. And so you'd come in and your feet would be dusty and everything else. And so normally you'd come into a home and you would wash your own feet. That was just part of the process. As you go in now, you wash your hands. Back then you washed your feet. In rich homes, the rich would have servants who would do the washing of the guests' feet and so forth. But here we see that Yeshua washes the disciples' feet. Notice, here the Son of God, the great teacher, the prophet, the miracle worker, relinquishes his position to do an extraordinary work of service. Why? To instill within his followers the concept that greatness and maturity result not from birth or from knowledge or from success or from wealth, but from service. That's what makes a person great, is when they serve another person. And the greater you relinquish your position in place to serve another person, the greater the service. You see, nothing should ever be beneath any one of us. There never should be anything so low, so mundane, so trivial that those of us will do it or will not do it. I'm a leader, so I don't have to clean up. I'm a counselor, so I don't have to cook another's meal or clean their house or go shopping for them and so forth. Folks, Yeshua washed the disciples' feet. We should be willing to do anything for anyone at any time, no matter who you are. But I'm not called to do it. Yes, you are. Was Yeshua called to wash their feet? I mean, he was called to perform miracles, to prophesy, to be a great teacher and everything else. And they were shocked when he came in and he was washing their feet. They didn't want to. They were humiliated by it. Why? Because he was showing such an act of service by doing it. And maybe those who are, quote, great among us need to do more works of service, the mundane, the trivial, and so forth, to show what it really means to be a servant. You see, that's what it means. I want to close with a story. I've shared this story before, but it best illustrates this concept of service and relinquishing one's position better than I've ever seen it. Sounds like we're in Great Britain here. Thank you. The story was, when I was in college, I was at Penn State, and I knew a lot of the football players. Penn State is a great football team, and they did back when I was in college, long ago. and a number of the college football players were believers. There was one guy who was the offensive tackle, huge guy, and he was a wild man. I mean, this guy was mean. He was really mean. His name was Craig Lyle. And he was mean and he was nasty. And he was huge. He had the biggest chest and arms I think I've ever seen in anybody, at least until I met Russ. But I mean, this guy was really massively huge. And on top of that, he had a voice like this. You know, I mean, the guy just sounded evil wherever he went. And he was known as going to these frat parties and just tearing them up and throwing people around. And this guy was mean. Well, suddenly, one day he gets saved. He's born again. And his life changes. And his voice never changed. It still sounded mean when he talked like that. But anyway... What happened? And like I said, Penn State had a great team. He was a great offensive tackle. This was in his junior year. Another guy came onto the team, a guy who was, I think it was a freshman at that time, maybe a sophomore, I'm not sure. And Craig was by now a junior. And Craig was a starting offensive tackle. This other guy, he began to take this other fellow under his wing and began to train this other fellow, this freshman or the sophomore, begin to give him all the characteristics that makes a great offensive lineman. He led this fellow to the Lord. And the guy became, you know, really radical for the Lord, just like Craig was. But the thing was that this fellow that he was training had potentially better talent than Craig had. And what ended up happening is by the end of his junior year, Craig had worked himself out of a job. Now, you think, oh, well, you know, you only have one more year. No, no. Great Penn State players, you know where they go next? To the pros. And you know what? They make a lot of money. And Craig was on the road to make a lot of money. I mean, he was a starting tackle and he was good. But by the end of the year, he had worked himself out of a job, and in Craig's senior year, he was no longer starting. This other fellow was now the starting offensive tackle. Craig graduated from college, was never drafted by the pros because they didn't know about him. And he went on into civil engineering and so forth. The fellow who came up behind him 2 years later was drafted by the Kansas City Chiefs and was their starting offensive tackle for 8 to 10 years. And he became great in the world's eyes. Craig didn't have to do what he had to do. But he relinquished his position to serve another. He sowed his life into this other person's life and made this other person great in the world's eyes. But by doing so, you know what? Craig became great in the kingdom of God. That's what it means to be a servant. Sowing yourself into another person's life to benefit them with the potential of maybe losing out on the advantage. That's what it means to be a servant. Folks, I challenge you, find somebody to serve. Those people who raised their hands today and you were praying for, find out what their needs are. Call them up during the week and find out how you can serve them and pray for them and bless them. First, we are to learn to serve for those people within our congregation. And then secondly, we are to serve the people within the vision of the congregation, which is largely the Russian people at this point. Not only be all that you can be and join God's army, which is what our talk was the last 4 weeks, but help another be all that he or she can be and serve another. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for this congregation, Lord. I thank you for the servant heart that you've given to many of the people here. But Lord, I pray for even a greater anointing of service, Lord. Father, let this place be known as a place where people are going to be cared for, where there's going to be a servant attitude and a servant heart. Lord, help us to be greater servants, greater givers, Lord God, greater yielders of our own desires and to help and to serve and to bless other people, Lord. Father, break us to be greater servants and to be great in your kingdom, O God. Father, we thank you that the test of greatness is what Yeshua laid down for us by being our example, by being the greatest servant of all. Lord, help us to be right behind him, to serve one another, Lord God, to make us what you have called us to become, the servants of the Most High and the servants of this world, in Yeshua's name. Amen.